It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
All right, so the president now says that the peace talks between the United States and the Taliban over the war in Afghanistan are over. He canceled a secret plan for a secret meeting at Camp David.
No longer secret.
But it was a secret till he told us about it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to tell us about it.
He did not.
The Taliban could have said, hey, we were going to Camp David. And the White House could have said, no, we were never going to have a Camp David. And America would have believed him. But no. He had to go out and tell us that he was going to do this in the first place. Which then begs the question, why would you do it 2 days before the September 11th anniversary?
That question has been asked by both Democrats and Republicans.
Legitimate question.
Yep.
Why would you do it at Camp David? Why would you bring the Taliban here to the United States to do that? You could meet him. You could have met him at Turnberry. It would have been better for everybody. You, them, Scotland, everybody involved. All right.
Good idea to have peace talks. Just that seemed like a...
So here is the president.
Long time.
They're dead. They're dead. As far as I'm concerned, they're dead. They thought that they had to kill people in order to put themselves in a little better negotiating position. When they did that, they killed 12 people. One happened to be a great American soldier, a wonderful young man from Puerto Rico, families from Puerto Rico. And you can't do that. You can't do that with me. So they're dead as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Now, I know this will shock some people, but I don't disagree with the president meeting with them. I don't disagree with a negotiation with the Taliban. This is the only way we're ever going to get out of Afghanistan, and we're eventually going to have to leave. It's tens of billions of dollars a year that we spend there, and it's probably time to move on.
$1 trillion, 2,400 lives, not to mention the people who have come back critically injured.
Right. But we understand what happened there, right? We understood what was going on, where what we had to go do. The question is, were we ever going to pacify Afghanistan? And no one's been able to pacify Afghanistan. And there isn't really an Afghanistan as much as there is just a coalition of tribes there.
No, actually, in terms of advisors, I took my own advice. I like the idea of meeting. I've met with a lot of bad people and a lot of good people during the course of the last almost 3 years. And I think meeting is a great thing. I think that meeting with, you know, you're talking about war. There are meetings with war. Otherwise, wars would never end. You'd have them go on forever. We had a meeting scheduled. It was my idea, and it was my idea to terminate it. I didn't discuss it with anybody else.
I agree with him when he says that in order to terminate wars, you have to have meetings. That's true.
Sure.
Right. Summits. And summit mean, the word summit means something. It means summit. It means it's the end. It's the final pieces. This stuff's all been negotiated. And you go and you have the summit and everybody's, you know, stands by. And there's some politics to that. And I think that's one of the things the president wanted to do. He wanted to be the guy that brought him in and said, hey, we're going to get extract a little bit more. And he wants to be the deal maker in chief and all that. I get it. Okay. He wouldn't be the first president to do that. The problem is that the groundwork had not been sufficiently laid. And obviously, the Taliban were not as in much control. The guys who were representing the Taliban in those meetings were not in as much control as they claimed to have been because there was that car bombing in the meantime. And I'm sure that at some point on the table they said, listen, all of that has to stop while we're talking, right? Cease fire while we're talking. And it didn't. So the president was right to pull out of this deal. The only grievance I would have with this is that doing it here certainly does seem disrespectful, and it gives, and again, he likes to do this. He doesn't understand the power of the image of the presidency internationally. He understands the power of the presidency, but he doesn't understand how when bringing somebody to the United States from over there and, you know, putting them up at Camp David, what that means. And he went on to make this argument that, you know, some other bad people have been, you know, at Camp David along the way, people that you would consider to be bad. Whether it's Khrushchev, Brezhnev from the former Soviet Union who was at Camp David, or if it's Anwar Sadat, Or any of the other leaders, Menachem Begin, any of the other leaders that have been there to do any kind of summit themselves, you know, or peace accords. All right, fine. I don't think any of those people really rise to the level of tribal thugs like the Taliban.
Right.
Those were all leaders of their nations. Right. Not a terrorist group. It would be like having Bin Laden come over. You know, I mean, it's the same sort of thing. And it just doesn't make sense. He can meet with them, but just not here and not on a U.S. military installation.
And not then is the other issue I think people have an issue with, is that it's the week of September 11th. Yeah. And Camp David was the place where our leaders went to go decide how post 9/11 to go after Al-Qaeda. And
even when he has bad ideas, he would criticize, if he had the exact same bad idea that anybody else had, he'd criticize whoever else, Republican, Democrat, whatever it is, for having that same bad idea. But when it's his idea, it's a good idea. I think we're all adult enough to see that. Right? You know, people have bosses like that. People have, you know, at some point in your career or your life, you've had somebody in your life that behaves like that, and you're like, oh my God, what are they up to? And that's kind of how I feel right now. Okay.
Number four.
The Mooch took a particularly personal shot at the president during a chat with Yahoo Finance Canada, or do you say finance, at the Toronto Global Forum. Scaramucci, Anthony Scaramucci, has gone from full supporter now, of course, and cable news pundit to enemy of Trump. He compared the body types of Trump, who's now 73, with the body type of 47-year-old Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Uh-oh.
You have to understand Trump. I mean, he's intimidated by Trudeau. Okay, Trudeau is like a good-looking young guy, and the president's like a fat blob and looks disgusting. And, you know, so he's very, very intimidated by that. You know, he has the self-esteem of a pigeon. So that's why he bullies everybody. Okay, and that's why he had to dunk Trudeau after the G20. And so that's why he had to dunk him. You know, he dunks everybody. There's nobody that can escape the personal fires of self-hatred of Donald Trump.
I didn't know pigeons had such problems.
I know. I know. I thought pigeons were fairly confident. I mean, the pigeons down here are confident.
They're very confident.
They fly right up
to the ones here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently, they're like, hey, I'll take you on, but I know I'm ugly.
This is an insult to pigeons, is really what this is. How dare you, Anthony Scaramucci? I don't know.
The man's everywhere, though. Don't you see? He's still on, he's popping up on all the shows.
And he's supposed to be here this week, too.
I don't know. Let's get producers.
I think we were talking about Scaramucci this week.
Sean Spicer is in town this week.
Oh. Finally, now that he's working for Fox, he's got suits that fit properly.
Yeah. They were a little baggy before, weren't they?
He's got it all worked out.
RBG is here right now at University of Chicago.
Hospital?
No. Don't even
She's
say that.
She's accepting an award.
Oh.
Yes, at the University of Chicago.
I hope that
Ruth
they
Bader.
Do the same thing that they did last week when she was accepting an award, and they hand it to her very gently and hold it with her.
Don't break her.
Don't fall on her foot.
Very delicate about
it. They unwrap
She's
her from
86.
Plastic wrap, and they put her, you know, there, and then they put her back in the bubble wrap, and they put her back in the airplane.
We gave you this 10-pound dumbbell as an award.
No.
Nothing sharp
not
either. They don't like, you know, that, like not like a scabbard or something, you
cutlery
know.
Cutlery
like,
set.
You know, right. Nothing, right, exactly. And everybody gets the cutlery set along with this. I'm a bleeder.
Oh. She's
all right.
Recovering nicely from her cancer.
Kim Gordon has got the WGN News at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
Mayor Lightfoot says overtime in the Chicago Police Department has to be cut. We'll have the latest coming up.
Celebrate 25 years of Chicago Television's number one morning show. Watch a live two-hour special full of memorable moments on the WGN-TV Morning News 25th Anniversary Special. It's next Tuesday night, September 17th at 7 p.m.
All right, Top 5-5 continues.
Number three.
After engaging in a Twitter fight last week with Senator Ted Cruz, Mayor Lightfoot has invited him to come to Chicago.
Because I wanted an opportunity to actually have a more fulsome conversation, which you're constrained with the characters that you can do in Twitter. And fundamentally, I don't think Twitter is the appropriate place to have a substantive policy discussion. I'm sure the next question is, have I heard yet from Senator Cruz? I have not. But I've invited him to come to Chicago. I'd love for him to walk the streets in the West Side and the South Side with me if he really wants to do something to be helpful.
That sounds kind of scary, though, doesn't it?
I don't think he's accepting that.
I don't know. It seems like there might be shootings and stuff if people have illegal guns.
Right, like the ones that she's talking about that come mm-hmm. across the border from Indiana and other places. He's got to prepare for his Alyssa Milano face-off. I guess it's next Tuesday, the whole gun control debate he's going to have with Alyssa Milano. So he's going to be busy prepping.
I loved you and Who's the Boss? I'd like to be your boss, if you know what I mean. Is that wrong to say?
Yeah, it is.
That's the wrong
Super
thing
awkward.
To say, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I say things that are just awkward.
Like all the time.
Yes. But I can't help it. I do it because my heart tells me to.
That's not your heart, by the way.
Just please don't ever tell us about your queso, love, because that's just something no one can handle anymore. And he officially ruined queso for all of America when he did that.
And this is all making me sad. Kevin, I got to go watch another movie.
I'll join you. I'll get the queso.
I'm going to Prom Hub to watch movies. That's what my staff told me. It's pronounced Prom Hub. And even my favorite actress is Busty Milf.
All right.
Too much.
Here we go.
That's a category, not a person.
Oh. All right. Let us now.
Number two.
Does he walk with me,
To the hustlers, killers, murderers, drug dealers, even the strippers.
He just walks with them.
To the victims of welfare, feel we living in hell here. Hell yeah.
Jesus walks with them.
Now here he is.
Kanye West was doing his Sunday service. Taking people to church.
Back home in Chicago.
At Northerly Island yesterday. It's a pretty amazing thing that he
really
did,
was.
Though, because on Saturday morning he announced that the tickets were available on the interwebs, and 9,000 of them went immediately. And then there was an aftermarket as much as $200 for him,
yeah,
even though they were free on the internet.
I saw 300, but yes, people took the free tickets, and they suddenly became for sale.
Yep. I mean, this is a way to promote his new album. He's kind of making this turn toward a... more of a...
like a service, a Sunday service. He did it at Coachella, and he's been doing it in other cities. This is his first trip back home.
Yeah, so he's going to do this around the country is the idea. But was it more than Coachella, or is it just Coachella?
I thought he'd been in other places, done one of these Sunday services, like at least another one.
Vegas.
I went. Bring God to Vegas.
You haven't gone to bed yet, and you're in Vegas at a Sunday service with Kanye.
And Chance the Rapper was there, too. So
yeah.
Major star power.
Mm-hmm. Here's Chance making an appearance. Service included a choir and messages of positivity.
When they come for you, I will shield your name. I will feel their questions. I will feel your pain. No one can judge. Yeah. They don't know. They don't.
Devil's neck till it drifted Pangea. I'm moving all my family from Chatham to Zambia. Treat the demon just like.
All right.
That rhymes.
Hey, Kim, what rhymes with Pangea? Zambia? All right, I got it.
At one point, he parted the seas of the audience and he walked through.
Kanye did. He shushed away the bodyguard.
Right?
He's like, this is my city.
I don't need you. I'm going to go right through.
And he did, though. He walked through a huge
parted
crowd.
Parted the seas of the people. It's very biblical.
Yeah.
Classic Kanye.
He is something.
I love Kanye,
He's a
though.
Performance artist of massive proportion. He is, I think, to the hip-hop world what David Bowie was to the rock and roll world in a lot of ways.
It's saying something.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's in his heart. He's a religious person. He's got, sings about God. It just feels like it's a genius marketing strategy to do these Sunday services. People, look how they're grabbing these tickets.
Yeah. And I mean, his music is great too. I mean, he's very good at waiting. And then the staging and theatrics and all that. I mean, but he is nuts. But all the, you know, a lot of great artists were nuts. Van Gogh cut his ear off, right? He just put on a MAGA hat. I mean, I don't know what else to do.
Well,
he just did what he did.
He went after the Taylor Swift. He just done a couple things.
That wasn't the best, but it worked out. It didn't hurt her. Put it that way.
Number one.
Celebrities gathered at a theater in Los Angeles last night to tease Alec Baldwin at his Comedy Central roast, but he wasn't the only one to become the butt of harsh jokes. Caitlyn Jenner, who showed up to help throw jabs at the night's honoree, was also roasted, most notably by former Olympian and from her daughter's daughter Kendall's ex-boyfriend, Blake Griffin.
Look, for real, I know we're all here making fun of Caitlin, but honestly, I want to take this moment to publicly thank you. As an athlete, I want to thank you for your bravery. And as a human, I want to thank you for the doors you've opened. And on behalf of the entire NBA and half of the rappers on the Billboard charts, I want to thank you for giving your daughters their daddy issues.
Oh no, he didn't say that. Ouch.
Ow.
Ouch.
That's hilarious.
Now I have a question. Is Caitlyn Jenner a stepmom or stepdad?
All right, close this thing up.
The top five at five.